Heavenly Father, we're going to come before you, Lord God, and just ask for your strength, that you would keep us strong in the midst of temptation, that you would show us the way of escape through every temptation that comes our way. Father, that we would never wander too far from your presence, Lord God, that we would not go into the areas that aren't meant for us, that we wouldn't engage in the conversations that are unhealthy to our spirit. Father, we wouldn't drink poison because we know it'll make us sick. Could even kill this physical body. Help us not to be polluted from the theologies and the things that are in this world, Lord God, what are completely contrast to your word. Help us to have the wisdom to know the difference, Lord. And stir us up, Lord. As we come before you, we bow our heads, we lay our hearts before you and ask, stir us up, Lord Jesus. Give us the strength we need. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. 2 Timothy is where we left off last week. We got through chapter 1 and going to continue in chapter 2. And what's interesting, besides everything in the Bible, is very interesting to me. Even the places where I don't understand. I don't know if you guys are like that, but I get to places in Scripture where I just don't know what exactly God is saying sometimes. I'm not going to say I know everything in the Bible, because I don't believe maybe very few, if anyone, knows, because some of the things are a mystery. It says the book of Revelation, Yvonne and I just finished reading the book of Revelation together, and wow, I've studied it, I've read it bunches of times, I've taught on it quite a few times over the years, and yet it just boggles my mind. If you've ever read the book of Revelation, you know what I'm talking about. But if you've never read it, you know, it's a good thing to read, because I really believe that we are in the last days because of time frame and calendars and Jewish calendars and all these different things that indicate. And then as things around us seem to indicate even more and more how the times are changing, the Word of God. And it says these things and these days, these last days, will increase more and more in ungodliness. And that's why I feel prompted more than ever to stick to the Word of God. Regardless if friends leave me, if family leaves me, I want to stay close to God, because it's a time in history, like I believe, like never before. There are things happening that are very unusual and many indicators. And Timothy is one of these guys who is a pastor. He's ordained, if you will. You know, we have that now that you go to school, you get ordained, or you do certain studies, you get ordained. And Paul is in a position where he's an apostle and he's training people up in the Word of God. And that's the key. There are many people who know the Word of God more than some pastors. Making you a pastor doesn't mean that you're an expert on the Word of God. You should be very well versed in it as much as possible. Some things there are no answers to, I believe. I don't have them. And I've heard people try and stretch the truth a little bit or stretch the Scripture a little bit. I don't go there, because if the Word doesn't say it clearly, I just don't comment on it. I think it's better to be still and be quiet. Let God be God, and some things are way above our heads, no matter how smart some people are. And Timothy is in a position where he's called. He was trained up in the Old Testament Scripture, but he didn't have the New Testament like we have. The New Testament, what I like about it, is filled with instruction for living for these days, and the days prior to this, and the days after this. There are instructional books all over the place in the New Testament. From the Gospels all the way to the book of Revelation, it's instruction, instruction. God showed us the law in the Old Testament to those who were living at that time, and us now, we can read it. But you know what? You can see Jesus in the midst of it all, and the Word is the Word. But the fulfillment of God in Christ has given us these instructions to adhere to obey as closely as we can. Stay close to it. Stay close to the Word of God. Embrace the Word of God. When you embrace the Word of God, you're embracing Jesus. Some people say, oh, I don't believe the Bible here, I don't believe the Bible there. You don't believe Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus is spoken Word of God. He is God. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all together combining However that works out, I can't explain it to you. And I don't believe anybody out there can. Explain God? How can you do that? Well, then what do? The parts of Scripture you understand, some of them are very simplistic. The instructions. If I were to tell you, here's the credit card. Go buy the pizza. Order the pizza. That's very understandable. Every one of you could probably do that chore. And the Word of God, sometimes people want to see the unsolved mysteries and they venture into areas that I don't believe are known or true. Stick to what you know. If you were to say, I got another way of doing it. Okay, there's many ways of doing things here on earth, but in God's economy, stick to what you understand. Stick to what you know. Read the Word over and over and over again. I've heard people say, well, Pete, I hear you say, fill me again, Lord. Like that song, fill my cup to the point of overflowing. Fill me up and send me out, something like that. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. We can't get more Holy Spirit than you already have. How do you know? There are times where I feel empty from the Spirit of God. Why? Oh, it could be trials, tribulations, it could be hardships, but I know God is there. And there are other times where I feel His presence more powerful than others. I don't know how to explain it. He fills us up. My cup right now was full of coffee. Now it's down to I can go and fill it up. Sometimes I do feel empty. I just go to the Lord. He fills me up. And you guys know what I'm talking about. Timothy, I believe, is feeling a little bit empty from the pressures of being a pastor. From the pressures of all the hardships that he's going through. And he says in verse 3, Paul does, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience and as my forefathers did, as without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers, Timothy, day and night, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is also in you. I remind you to stir up the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, Timothy. Don't fret. He's given us power and love and a sound mind. And how do you receive that? Fill it up. Fill your cup up. When you go out to work and you face all the difficulties that you have on your job and the hardships and the people and all the, you know what I'm talking about, the stress. Go home. Refill. Reboot, if you will, like a computer. Just shut it down and get in the presence of God and let Him build you up. Stir it up. Remember, it meant to rekindle. It was the fanning of the flames, if you will, or the blowing on the coals until you get it ignites. That's what he's telling Timothy. Don't give up, Timothy. I know you're going through a lot of hard things. Look at me, I'm in prison. Paul's in prison right here. This is a place where he's writing from where he's going to eventually die. In chapter 6, he talks about it. You, in chapter 2, verse 1, you therefore, my son, be strong. We're going to see a list again of directives from Paul to Timothy. He says, you, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What are you going to be strong in? Strong, Webster's definition of strong is having power to move heavy weight or perform other physical demanding tasks. Some of you may be very strong physically, mentally. You have power that you can move things around. You can move equipment around. You can move furniture around. You can work all day. You got that physical strength. You can do the demanding things and stand in the presence of these demanding threats or whatever it may be. But that's not necessarily the word that's being used here in the Greek. The Greek word means to empower, enable, to give someone authority or power, vest it. Secure in, assigned to a person, to do something. Paul is an authority over Timothy. Why? Because Timothy chose to come under him. You see, that's where Timothy is at. He's placed himself under that authority, and Paul is there to be a shining example of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is doing. Timothy, it's okay to be disappointed. It's okay to be fearful for a moment. But you have a power of strength within you that you can tap into any time. You can go before the Lord. You can get on your knees. You can get on your face. You can raise your hands. You can lift your voice. Timothy, there's power there. You can stir it up. Fill it up. Fill the cup up, Timothy. Ask Jesus for the Holy Spirit. You have not because you ask not, Jesus said. Ask Him for the Holy Spirit. Lord, fill me up again. Jesus, when I come before You to study, show me things that I haven't seen before. He'll do it over and over and over. I've been teaching the Word of God for, 25 years almost, and He shows me on the same pages things that are written all over. Something different that lines up. And I'm like, oh, I never saw that. Why? Because He's God. He sees through walls. He walks through walls. He ascends to heaven to the Father. He's all around us. He's omnipresent, omniscient. He's everything. Or at least He should be to us. He says, Timothy, my son, be strong in the grace in Jesus Christ. Not in your own strength, Timothy. If you're going to depend on your own strength, you're going to blow it. You're going to tap out. You're going to say, the heck with this pastoring stuff. It's crazy. He says, I know, Timothy. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. Timothy, he says, be strong. Ask God to empower you, enable you. Erinamo, it means in the Greek. Let Him be vested in Him. Be secured in Him. Let Him assign to you the things to do. And then we're going to see that he says in verse 2, make disciples. Timothy, get some people to help you. Get some people around you. Well, what kind of people? People who are faithful. Faithful men, faithful women, and who are able to teach and place them in authority. Start doing with them what I'm doing with you, training you up. You therefore must endure. James says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised him. He says, you got to endure. Be strong. Make disciples. Endure. Endure what? Hardships. They're going to be there. Not just for pastors, but every one of you is going to have to endure hardships sooner or later. Well, how do we endure them? As a good soldier. A soldier is strong. He's determined, or she, and purposeful. They want to get the job done. Regardless what anybody says, the soldier is fixed on his mission and what it takes to get things done. If you're going to be in a place of authority, you have to have that type of focus, even at work. You can't worry if, oh, well, they don't like me when I'm authoritative. Well, then you're not called to lead. You're called to follow, perhaps. Nothing wrong with that. But you have to not worry about what people think. If you know what to do, you have to do it. Doesn't matter what happens around you. People come, people go. You have to be focused. And people may fall to your right hand and to your left, the Bible says. You keep your focus. There are Christians who will wander from the truth, get into all kinds of craziness. There are Christians who will float around, never coming under any authority, never being all that they can be in Christ, because if you're not under any authority, how are you going to get promoted in any position? I know people who are my age. That's a big number. And they go back to an entry level. And then they go to another place, and then entry level, and then another place, and an entry level, another place. They've been doing this all their lives, and they didn't keep the focus. I was talking with my grandson, and he wants to be this and that, and he was telling me, I really like to be this kind of a occupation. He wants to be in the medical field. And I said, well, you're going to have to keep your focus. And I explained the things he would have to do. And you're going to have to choose a path at some point, and then stay on that course. Because if not, then you're going to go back again. And you're not going to attain your goal. You have to be focused even during a hardship. It's not always easy following Christ, right? How many of you have found it just a piece of cake? It's difficult sometimes. It gnaws at you because our flesh doesn't like to be told what to do. Our flesh doesn't like to keep focus. We like to play. Timothy, endure. No one engaged in a warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. If you want to please Jesus, don't entangle yourself in the things of the world. We're in the world, not of the world. We do what we got to do, but don't get entangled in it. And then it says in verse 5, and also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. We got to stick to the rules. I don't want to come under the rules. You're not being rebellious to me, you're being rebellious to the Word of God. and God. Then he gives an example to Timothy, a practical application. Timothy, you know that the hardworking farmer must first partake of the crops. He's the one who's walking in the grain, cracking open the corn to see if it's ready, and he tastes it, testing the fruit before he puts it to market. God will give you that. He'll give me fruit, yeah, but not fruit on trees, spiritual fruit. If you invest in the Word of God, if you read the Word of God, He'll give you a taste. He'll give you the first portion of bread, if you will, the first portion of manna. Remember manna? It would come down from heaven, it would appear on the ground in the desert. Could you save it till the next day and eat it then? Then why, if the Word of God is the bread of life and Jesus is the bread of life, why do we not get into the Word of God, into Jesus, fresh every morning? How can we? They tried storing the manna. It wouldn't keep. It would just wither away. I believe that God has that same attitude with the Word of God, just getting in the Word, and it's fresh every day. Because you don't know what's going to happen today. In the morning, seek God and see if His plans align with yours, or yours align with Him, I should say. And then in verse 7, he says, "Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." What's his gospel? That which Jesus taught him. 3 years, the resurrected Christ spent with Jesus in the Arabian desert. Just like he spent 3 years with the other 11 apostles, because one betrayed him. He spent that time with Paul, the Bible says. He says, "My gospel is the word of life." It's Jesus' words. And in verse 9, "For which I suffered trouble as an evildoer." Notice what he's saying. As I submit to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the words of God, I suffer as an evildoer. He's in prison right now. In this portion, he's in prison. Even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. They can't shut me up. He's placed in prison. He's chained to these guards day and night. And you know, there's a changing of the guard. They can't be with him all the time. So there's this rotation going on. He says, "I'm ministering to every one of these guys. Every one of them." He's in chains and his ministry is thriving. Not because he has programs and all these cool things and trips here and trips there. No, because he's ministering the word of life. He's giving people an opportunity to go to heaven. Not to go and have fun over here. We call it a mission trip. It's amazing how I've seen the abuses over the years of mission trips. And what goes on there. Not all of them, but some of them. It's not a mission trip at all. It's a vacation. Mission trip is about work. For we would go to Mexico. Yeah, we had fun because we were with a bunch of family and believers and everything. But we were there working. We poured the concrete. And Mexico is not on time standard. Over here, we have schedules and we say, okay, the cement truck is coming at 8 o'clock. We waited till 3 o'clock. It finally showed up. We had like 30 yards or 40 yards to pour with wheelbarrows, pouring it, rolling it, a step down, boards going down, in the heat of the day where it's setting up fast because they didn't come in the morning. Until it got dark, we finally finished, and we're just like soaking wet in the summer. Mission trips are awesome. If you ever get a chance to do a mission trip, I pray it's a good one where you really work. We're working. I come back exhausted. And see, God will help us to endure all things in verse 10. If you sign up, I know people who say, "I don't want to go over there because I'm afraid." God will provide. There's been some weird things when we've gone over there, but God provides. He'll help you to endure all things for the sake of the elect. Who are the elect? The ones that you're there to minister to. The ones who give their life to the Lord. That they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. If we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. How can we deny God? How's that? It's rare that people just say, I saw a van today when I was cruising around with Joshy in my truck, and it had horrible stickers on there. Horrible. And uses the F word and everything, and oh, it's horrible. And Josh is like, we feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for them, Josh. He goes, I know. It's awful, Grandpa. I feel bad for them. Maybe no one taught them, or maybe they just didn't listen. The Bible says everybody will be without excuse. We all have been preached to. What are we going to do with it? I hope that guy gets preached to if he hasn't already. How can we deny God? Disobedient to His Word. Simple as that. The good thing is that if you've given your life to Jesus Christ and you're doing your best, the blood of God, the blood of Jesus is over you. You're still cleansed. You just got to go and fill up your cup. Again, go out and start it again. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we're not obedient to His Word, if we want to do it our way, I can do it my way, Pete. You have your way, I have my way. It's not my way, it's God's way. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. There's been times where I, like Timothy, the faith was at the bottom of the barrel. God, I don't know. There's been times where I didn't think I could show up. There was times where I didn't know what to do. There was times where I felt dry. And I believe He lets us or allows us to experience these different things so we can relate one to another. So we can understand situations that we've been through, that God has lifted us up through. So that we can encourage others. So that we can comfort others with the same comfort that we were comforted with, the Bible says. This is what God has planned for us. Don't be upset if you've gone through hard or you're going through hard times. God is trying to fill you up. He's stretching you. Remember Stretch Armstrong, those of you who are older? It was like I don't want to call it a man doll, but it was a man doll. And you could stretch the arms from here to over there and it wouldn't break. God is just stretching you. He's just stretching you, or He's pruning you, like it says in the book of James, you know, you don't need this, you don't need that. Well, they do it, don't worry about them. Let Him prune you, and watch what will happen. And your limbs will be strong, and the fruit will be able to bear the fruit. You've seen trees that are not pruned. They're hanging like that, the branches break. He doesn't want to break you, He wants to make you stronger. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. We cannot deny, for He cannot deny Himself. Remind them of these things, Timothy. All these things that we just went through. Urging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit. That's why I say, if there's something we don't understand, don't try and make it up. Don't try and put your theology or your twist to it. Just say, I don't know what he's talking about, but I do know this. And you tell them the true Word of God, that which you know unequivocally about God. Don't strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. It'll pollute you. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, rightly dividing. Stick to the principles of God. Shun profane and idle babblings. Some people like to debate the Bible. When I was first learning the Bible, I was all excited. I knew all these things, and I wanted to debate with those guys to prove them wrong. That's not what the Word of God is for. It's here to give them life. If they don't want to adhere to the words, you're not going to prove them wrong. They do not have ears to hear, the Bible says. They're idle babblings, and they will increase in more ungodliness. What does that mean? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. If they're listening to false teachings and false doctrine, be careful who you listen to. If it doesn't sound right, it's probably not right. You know the Word. Continue in it, Timothy. Continue in it, each and every one of you. Don't listen to those who try and steer you away. Progressive teaching of the Word of God. What? Progressive? The Word of God hasn't changed since it was written. People have changed it, but the Word of God hasn't changed. They'll increase in more ungodliness. It'll get weirder and weirder and weirder. And their message will spread like cancer. It's a disease. False teaching, it's a disease. False doctrine, it's a disease. It will spread. What happens with cancer? It spreads. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. These were the troublemakers, polluting the Word of God. And he calls them out. There are some out there that need to be called out. In verse 18, who have strayed concerning the truth. That's their problem. They want to be right, and they put God aside so that they can be right. Saying that the resurrection, these guys, Hymenaeus and Philetus, had already passed. And they overthrew the faith of some. Notice that false teachers or false doctrine can stumble people to a point where they fall away. The Bible says if these people do that, it'd be better if they put a millstone. It's a lithros. It's not the little grinding thing that they had a handheld. It's the big one that the beast would tread the grain with. The lithros meant a big stone, a couple tons maybe, or at least a ton. It's better if one of those was tied to their neck and thrown in the abyss. It'll be better off for them than what's waiting for them. They've gone the way of Balaam. They've gone astray from the Word of God. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. You can get as weird as you want with the Word of God if you want to. Someone might call you out on it. It's better to be safe and stick to the Word of God. Don't let the pollutants of the world, the progressiveness of the world and everything else try and change what's written. Don't be overthrown by these words. Because nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal that the Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You know what sin is. I don't have to follow you around saying, oh, that's sin. Oh, you shouldn't do that. That's sin. That, you know. You have the Spirit of God. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. What are you talking about? Well, there's gold and silver, wood and clay, and you know, you can put food on it, and then there's some things that were made for waste. But certain vessels weren't for eating off of, if you know what I mean. You don't want them to go eat out of the toilet. And that's what he's saying. Some people are feeding in the wrong places. And they're going to cause dishonor for themselves. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he or she will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the Master, prepared for every good work. Isn't that cool? God can prepare you with your little bit of faith, my little bit of faith, for anything. It's amazing if you just start coming under somebody's authority. God will use you. Flee youthful lusts. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, and those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Can God make a rock so big that He can't lift it up? People have asked me that. That's just willful ignorance. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel. Ooh. How many are guilty? We quarrel sometimes for silliness. Silly, silly things. Usually when we're just being busybody, nosy. What's going on over there? And it starts a quarrel. But be gentle to all. Able to teach. We should all be able to teach a little. Somehow, somewhere. Maybe you would think to your kids. You can teach them things. In humility, correcting those. Not in aggressive behavior. Not in, listen to me now. You're wrong. The Word of God doesn't say that. That's not the way to do it. He says, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Why? Because they're not the enemy. They're suffering, they're struggling, they're hurting, whatever it may be. They're confused, they're misinformed. Well, if you know so much, then humility, show them the way, the truth, the life. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. You see, because it is a trap. They're caught in a trap. If someone falls in a well which was covered, you don't go there and say, God, you're stupid. How stupid can you be? Well, can't you just climb out? I can't reach up there. Well, try. Throw me a rope. Can't rope me rope. Get your own rope. That's the way we are as Christians sometimes. I've done that. Oh, come on, just get up. It's not that bad. When I was younger, in the Lord, I didn't know. I started reading the Word, seeing these words, and saying, ooh, Pete, you're wrong. You're so wrong. In humility, correcting those. Maybe that should be a verse for all of us to memorize. In humility, let's all read it together. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. That's what we need to do. 26, it ends with, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Be strong. Make disciples. Endure hardship. Engage in the war. Play by the rules. Have patience, like the farmer. Patience doesn't mean procrastinating. Don't get it confused. Christians sometimes confuse patience with procrastinating. You know when you're just putting it off. No. Be attentive to what you have to, and then have patience in it. Stick to the gospel. Endure all things, for someone's salvation depends on it. Think about that. Someone's salvation depends on us. We're the voice. We're the one who can take the message to them. We're the ones who can help them out of the well. We're the ones who can throw them a line or a rope to save their life. And yes, it's disappointing when they say no, when they reject us, but don't give up. Through much prayer and fasting, they may come to the Lord. Endure all things. Pastors are always reminding us of stuff. Keep your walk pure. In verses 19 through 26, I put, depart from evil, iniquity, immoral, grossly unfair behavior. Don't become filled with iniquity. Be cleansed, useful for the master's use. Flee things that are not good. Avoid conversations that are not healthy. Be gentle, able to teach, patient, and again, the last one, humble, in humility, guys. Heavenly Father, sometimes we're quite opposite of what you tell us to do, Lord. We all fall short of the glory of God. We know that. But Lord, help us to walk strong. Help us to be filled with strength, not physically, have power to move great weight, perform amazing, demanding tasks, Lord God. Help us to be empowered. Help us, Lord God, to walk in the authority that you've given us, the authority of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit that's vested in us by God Himself. Help us to walk in that power, Lord God, that you've given us and you've assigned us to reach people. Help us to reach them, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.